Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode on Making Room. If you listened to our 100th episode update, you might have heard that we are going to be launching a few new episodes that focus on your questions. Questions that come from you, either sent to Ciao, C-I-A-O, at gatherintentionalliving.com, or submitted through our Instagram page, at gatherintentionalliving. These two questions were asked on Instagram this past week, and I'm going to dive into them deeper. I always dive quickly into them a little bit on stories on Instagram, but I want to have the whole conversation because I'm sure more of you are wondering. We are going to be focusing on how to host outdoors in a way that doesn't feel chaotic and doesn't feel overwhelming, how to set up the space, how to decorate it. This was specifically asked with a large group in mind. And then also what to cook for guests that will stay hot for serving. This was a really interesting question because it's not something that I give a lot of conscious thought to, but the more that I dug into it, I realized there really are some foods that are better to serve for our guests, especially when it's sitting out for a while, than others. So without waiting any longer, let's get into these questions. Hi, I'm Katie, a hospitality educator and the host of Making Room by Gather podcast. I am set to see our communities get back to the table through hospitality, but it wasn't always this way. My husband and I moved to Thailand, and through it, I experienced some loneliness. And with it, I was given a choice to sit back and accept it or to do something about it. And for me, that meant two things: that I needed the healing to learn how to accept an invitation and the confidence to know how to extend one. Through this process, I developed some of the richest and deepest relationships of my life. Through Making Room by Gather, you will hear conversations from myself and experts in the areas of food, design, and relationships. You see, there are countless things trying to keep us from the table, but can I tell you something? Take a seat because you are ready. You are capable. You are a good host. Did you hear the news? The FDA approved lab-grown chicken for sale. Yes, meat formed in a bioreactor will soon be coming to a store near you. If you prefer meat grown in a pasture instead of a petri dish, then you need Good Ranchers. Not only do they sell real meat from real animals, but they sell the best meat that this country really has to offer. From steakhouse quality cuts of beef to better than organic chicken, everything Good Ranchers sources is from local farms in America. If access to food you trust is important, then I can't recommend Good Ranchers enough. There's a reason they've won the best food subscription 2 years in a row. They've got genuinely great products, top-tier customer service. You can't call the scientists in a lab to ask about their fake meat, but Good Ranchers is a team of people available for you to call and answer all of your questions. That's real meat and real service. Head on over to goodranchers.com and use my code GATHER to get $30 off your first box. With over 14,000 five-star reviews, you can confidently pick the perfect box for you. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years when you subscribe today. $30 off and a price lock guarantee, just two more things that lab-grown meat can't offer. Lock in your price, save $30, and get real American meat delivered today. Go to goodranchers.com and use code GATHER. Goodranchers.com, American meat delivered. So the cool thing about these episodes is going to be if one question doesn't necessarily apply to you or it's not something that you feel you need to grow in, you can just fast forward a little bit and listen to the other question. But we are going to start with talking about the outdoors. And I know that some of you have the most amazing outdoor spaces. And so if that's you, feel free to fast forward. But for some of us, it feels a little bit overwhelming. Now, I picture it this way. You look outside, your backyard is all grass, and you're like, oh my word, where do I start? Now, here's the thing. I feel like outdoor entertaining can feel, or I'm not using the word entertaining anymore, outdoor hosting can feel so overwhelming because there aren't boundaries. Now, here's what I mean by that. When you are hosting in your house, there's a clear living room, there's a clear kitchen, there are clear bathrooms, right? There are clear barriers with set roles for people to kind of fall into, right? When we're just looking out to our grass or our outdoor spaces, typically this is not the case. Or maybe you're in a situation where you do have a patio, but there's not necessarily purpose to each space. For example, maybe there's just a few chairs here and there, or maybe there's just a few garden benches and you're like, well, what do I do with that? So my first recommendation is to create boundaries or rooms in your outdoor space. And I think you know what I mean by this, but just to clarify, I do not mean getting out a hammer, nails, and plywood and creating actual physical rooms. I just mean creating purposeful spaces. So here's what I mean by that. So you are hosting people for, in this case, this girl was reaching out about a baby shower. It could be a graduation party or really just a cookout. You need places for people to sit. You need places for people to eat or get their food from, be served their food from, and usually a place for an activity to happen. And so I like to think about it this way. Creating a space with tables and easy serveware, usually access to some kind of water where the drinks would be, appetizers served, all things like that. And this would act as your outdoor kitchen, if you will. Now, it doesn't have to have appliances. It will just be where people go to get their food. Now, another area would be somewhere where people can sit, like a dining room or a living room. Sometimes with outdoor entertaining, oh my word, I keep saying it, it is so drilled into all of our brains, isn't it? But outdoor hosting, you have both. You have a place where you want people to actually sit at a table and then a place for them to lounge. And so this is something for you to consider. Are you okay if people lounge for the rest of the outdoor gathering? Or do you want to split it up sometimes at a table, sometimes more casual? Either way, if you are creating a dining room boundary or barrier of sorts, you are creating a set space, or it could be multiple spaces, where there are tables and chairs set up for people to sit to eat. Now, this living room style would be a little bit more casual, and it could be with outdoor couches. It could just be with chairs and no table. And what I like to do to create a very clear boundary instead of just having random chairs throughout your lawn is to picture it like all the chairs are put together in a square shape or a half moon, a circle, anything like that to show people that this area right here, this set aside area, is for you to rest. So we have a kitchen, we have a dining room, and we have a living room. Now, I like to call the other area your playroom or your activity area. I know there's probably a more elevated term that we can connect to it, but this will help you just gauge that. So for a baby shower, it could be the place where there is a diaper raffle or where people go to, I don't know, you play a party game. At a barbecue, it can be the area where cornhole and volleyball is set up. Usually, I like to put these areas close together, are all in the same area so that they are set apart from the food. Now, they don't have to be on the other side of the property because people like to be a part of the action, but having it together gives people the permission to kind of let their hair down or whatever kind of activity you have and participate in a little bit more play. Now, this seems so simple and so like natural, but I think it's something that a lot of us don't consciously think of. And being able to look at it, look at our blank yard space, our blank canvas with this in mind might give us a little bit more structure to go off of, especially if you are someone that feels a little bit overwhelmed. What I like about this too is it also makes your outside feel a little bit more cozy, feel a little bit more like home than, just a wide open space. Now, as you are decorating your outside space, this is a question that was also asked, kind of like a two-part question. How do I decorate it? And now when we are decorating our inside spaces, you might have heard the term bring the outside in. So bringing a lot of plants inside, I guess really mostly plants. So like clippings from trees around the holidays, or just a lot of like greenery indoors to make it feel a little bit more life-giving. But we're going to do the opposite and flip the script when you're hosting outside. So you want to picture bringing the inside out. Now, here's what I mean by that. Watch the weather, please watch the weather, or just buy all outdoor furniture if you're able to do that. Use pillows, use throw blankets, use lanterns or lighting as much as possible. Outdoor rugs are fantastic, especially when you are creating these living room type spaces. I'm sure we've all seen events where candles are on the table. Obviously, candles are not a part of the outdoors naturally or normally, right? So that is a very small example of bringing the indoors out. But as you are creating a space, for example, maybe for the mom-to-be to open her gifts, bring a very oversized chair with pillows and drape a throw blanket on the back and make it really cozy. Or in the seating area, bring some pictures or some artwork, some throw pillows on those chairs. It just adds an element of cozy and of welcome, that whole concept of welcome that is hard to find outside, but it brings the two worlds together very, very nicely. Don't be shy of things like tablecloths. Something that's been very frustrating to me design-wise as we look outside is we change the fabrics of things outside. Now, I understand why. Usually they're waterproof or disposable, but give yourself the permission to use an indoor tablecloth outside when you're serving. If you could picture like the red and white checkered tablecloths or those, you know, very, very, very vibrant outdoor kind of like poolside tablecloths. There's a time for that, but it often doesn't match the aesthetic that you're hoping for. So give yourself the permission to use those tablecloths from inside and knowing that you might have to wash them, but being okay with it because of the beauty that it will add to your space. Now, a lot of times, just to go off of this a little bit more, when we're decorating outdoors, we'll have, like watermelon themed melamine plates, and we'll have the red and white checkered tablecloth and bright color plastic cups. And again, there is a time and a space for all of that. So I am not totally bashing it. But when we put that all together, sometimes it might lead us to feel a little bit overwhelmed or feel like there is actually chaos, visual chaos, and we don't know how to identify it. So here is a very little trick to keep in mind, no matter what you're working with, no matter what your budget is. I try to keep only one of the elements with a pattern on them. The rest I like to keep neutral, either a solid, or not neutral necessarily, a solid color or a solid color with a texture. Now here's what I mean by that. If, for example, I live on the coast, and so everything is like nautical and coastal this time of year, so my brain goes there. If, for example, I have a navy color tablecloth, so solid navy, and I want to go a little bit coastal beachy, my napkins, I could have those have really nice like ocean wave pattern on them. So I have my navy tablecloth, my ocean wave napkin, and then to add a little bit of extra dynamic or a little bit of extra character to the design, I could use some burlap accents. So tying, you know, burlap around the utensil holders or burlap around the water jug or things like that. And again, I have a texture, I have a solid texture, I have a solid color tablecloth, and then the pattern in the napkin. And so just kind of keep that in mind as you're decorating. Know what your theme is. If you don't know what your theme is, you could pick one, and it could even just be summer if you need it to be. And then pick one pattern, a texture, and a solid color. If, for example, you have, I just want to give you guys options so you feel freedom with this. If you have a melamine watermelon tray that you're like, you know what, I have it, I'm going to use it. Use it for all, oh my gosh, use it. I'm not telling you to get rid of them. But what you might want to do is pick out whatever color is in there, like one of the nice greens or like a pink or like a dark pinkish red, and have one of those be the color of the tablecloth. And then, you know, using something like a textured glass or textured pottery or something like that to add a little bit more dynamic to the design there. Okay, now that is outdoor dining. If you have any other questions about this, feel free to message me on Instagram at Gather Intentional Living, and I could add it as kind of like an amendment to a future episode. And I would love to help you just feel confident as you are tackling that space as well. But we're going to move on to the other question. What do I serve guests that is kind of easy to keep warm as we are talking and playing games and all of that? Now, listen, I have certain family members that will only eat piping hot food. That is personally not me. I'm not going to make you sick, so you don't have to worry about that. But that's not necessarily something I need when I'm eating. So I don't always pay the most attention to it. However, it is very, very nice when you've gone to great lengths to create a really nice meal. And so here's what I want you to think. If you want your food hot, so if we're talking hot food, think grill, crock pot, stovetop, casserole dish. Grill, stovetop, crock pot, casserole dish. All of these things are very easy for you to make your food and serve warm. So here's an example of all of them. If you are cooking something on your grill, you can have all of your sides ready ahead of time, whatever salads you're making, whatever chips you're serving. This time of year, I love fresh vegetable salads. You can have all of that ready. Usually that's cold. And then all you need is to cook your protein or whatever you're having on the grill, and you can eat as soon as you're done. That's probably the easiest. Crockpot is another one that is incredibly easy because you literally can just keep the crockpot on low and serve whatever you are cooking hot. And again, you can have all of your sides ready beforehand, whatever rice you're having or cornbread or things like that, ready to go, and then just scoop the crockpot meal on the plate. Now, casserole dishes are phenomenal. I know casseroles get a bad rap, but I love my La Crusade, however you say it, like Dutch ovens. I just got one. I think it was this last Christmas. Gosh, maybe it's been 2 years, but I've been using that a ton. And what's amazing about those is when they come out of the oven, and you put them on the stove or the counter, keep the lid on, it stays warm for quite a while. Even if it's sitting on the table, it holds the heat super, super, super well. So think like pot roast. What else have I made in there? I've made incredible veggie side dishes that stay warm forever. Half-Baked Harvest has a Brussels sprout recipe with like pomegranate seeds and Parmesan cheese. Oh my gosh. And yeah, I made that for Christmas actually. And it stayed warm from my oven, in the car, on the table until it was served without reheating it. Very impressive. Also, probably the most common would be stovetop. So what I like to think about for here, in your casserole dish, you could do sausage and peppers. Just wanted to give another option there for protein. But stovetop, you could do a chicken piccata. You could do homemade meatballs and red sauce. Actually, let me look. I pulled up my notes from Instagram just so I can give you a few ideas. Actually, those were the two ideas that I gave for stovetop. So chicken piccata, meatballs, sausage and peppers, those types of things where even if you fully cooked it ahead of time, you could just keep it low on simmer and that would be ready to serve. Again, if something like keeping food hot is really important to you, a good way to balance it out would be to make sure that your side dishes don't also have to stay hot. That way you can have all of your prep work done before, so much peace of mind, only have to work on the protein or the main course. And that is way, way, way easier to navigate. As I was talking to this friend of Gather, she was saying that she ended up making a lasagna, which is great. I mean, hey, right? Like put it in your La Crusade casserole dish, or they also make amazing deep lasagna dishes. Cover it, put it in the oven on very low until you're ready to serve it. We also grew up with a family member who had, it's kind of like a hot plate, but it's longer. I think it's like a buffet plate or something. And you literally plug it into, plug it into an outlet and put the food on it, and it just keeps it warm. It doesn't cook it. Is it a warmer? Oh my gosh. Sometimes things like this, I'm like, I should have looked that up before. I think most of you will know what I'm talking about. And that's just another option for you in the event that you want to be extra, extra cautious. These questions were very short, very sweet, but hopefully really helpful. I think that these episodes will stay around a half an hour, and I truthfully want all of your questions. There were a few more that came in that I'm going to space out to another episode, but let's keep this going. So if you have any questions that you wanted to ask on a date with Kate, you could send them over again to Ciao, C-I-A-O, at gatherintentionalliving.com or on our inbox at gatherintentionalliving on Instagram. You guys are ready. You are capable. You are good hosts.